The title of my message is God is Not Angry. We have been touching lightly on what I've categorized as a radical love shift. Jesus brought us into a whole new way of looking at things, and I believe that what Jesus taught, he brought us into a whole new system, a whole new paradigm of extravagant love, the way we view everything, the way we view political things, the way we view spiritual things, the way we view life, our worldview, is through the view that Jesus came and demonstrated to us about the Father. And so the whole new system that Jesus was bringing in was crashing. Those of you that are computer nerds, you'll like this. He was crashing and deleting the systems of men that caused people to view God in a wrong way. He came to relieve us of our pagan thought processes, to our mythology that had even entered into Judaism and the spiritual aspects that God was trying to bring to Israel. Jesus was God in a physical body. He modeled this kind of love from the Father to the human race. I want us to look at Matthew chapter 5. I know we've looked at this before, but let's look at it again. Matthew 5 and verse 38. I think they're going to put it up. Yeah, New King James. It says, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth," because they thought this is how God was. "But I tell you not to resist an evil person." Wow, what are we going to do with that? "But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also." And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. I mean, Jesus is bringing this to another epidemic level in our thinking. "Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away." Verse 43, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." Because they thought that God hated his enemies. They thought, even the Jews at times believed that they were the enemies of God. But we know in Colossians in the New Testament that they were alienated in their own minds. God wasn't ever their enemies. But if you think he's your enemy, then he'll be your enemy, and you'll look at everybody around you as your enemy. But Jesus is bringing a radical love shift to the way that we do things. Good, do good to those who hate you. I don't want to. I want to knock them out. Let's do this thing. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Everybody is God's sons. Everybody is God's children. But what this is saying is that you're going to look like God. If you do these things, you're going to look like God, because this is what my Father is like. "For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good." You know, have you ever seen that Charlie Brown thing where the rain follows? You know, have you ever felt like that? It's like the whole world is against me. God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, because that's his nature. That's who he is. "And he sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect." In other words, if you're modeling these things, you are modeling who God was all along. You're modeling the Father. The point that Jesus is making is that when we live life forgiving our enemies, not holding people's sins against them, not retaliating in any way, we look like children of our Father. I'm going to keep saying it just for me. God has never used violence to solve a problem, and He doesn't want us to either. When you use violence to solve a problem, you might think that you're creating a safe zone, but what you're doing is you're creating more violence on the other side of it. God doesn't use violence to solve problems. The cross wasn't the violence of God to solve the human race's problems. The cross was the love of God bringing a change and a transformation to the entire human race in the way that we viewed Him and the way we viewed ourselves. Jesus made the Father look good, and He was committed to that way of showing who the Father had always been. Jesus provided us with the understanding that God was not violent. God was changing the entire perspective of everything that was going on. And we've been talking about the fact that God is love. So I'm going to draw my circle. God is love. Jesus came to show us that. God is good. Just whenever He's not mad. That's what we've preached. But that ain't right. That isn't what Jesus showed us. And so I'm going to have to rethink even the way I view the cross and the blood. And that's what I've been saying even over the last few weeks. Listen, what Christ's death did was He freed us from a former way of life, from a former way of thinking. Now, that's going to take a lot of explanation. It's going to take a lot of thought process for us to move outside. Or let me say this. We've been out here with an angry God. These are the traditions of men influenced by paganism, mythology. We've been out here in the traditions of men trying to explain the love of God. What God wants us to do is get in Jesus in our minds and understand that Jesus was the final word, the final fulfillment of everything that God wanted to show us about Himself. And Jesus, we need to get in this and then explain all of these things out here by understanding the love of God. In other words, we talked about hell a few weeks ago. That doesn't sound like God. That doesn't sound like the God that Jesus presented. And so we're going to have to allow the love of God to do the same thing to us that it did to Paul, that it did to Saul who became Paul. Because Jesus started the process and Paul began to get in on the process whenever he got knocked off of his horse. And grace appeared to him and began to... Saul had been around Jesus all of those years. He had been watching what Jesus was doing. He heard what Jesus was teaching. He was a part of the Sanhedrin. So he knew what was going on, but he was following the law. He was following the dictates of the law without being able to view Jesus. And if he didn't see Jesus, then you couldn't see the Father. You would continue to operate under this place of Adamic thought processes. Hello? That the law brought complete fulfillment to. But it wasn't so that we would be okay with us. It was so that we would not be okay with how we viewed God, and we would not be okay with how we viewed ourselves. Man, that was a mouthful. There's three messages in that. So And I'm going to tell you about your pastor. I have been, really in 1987, whenever I had that experience with God, I began to unplug from the matrix. You guys remember the matrix? Let me read this, just so you... In the matrix, Morpheus took out two pills, a red pill and a blue pill. And he told Neo, he said, you've got a choice to make here. Let me just read it. He takes out two pills. This is your last chance, Neo. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe, and you continue as it has always been. Morpheus continues and he says, or you take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland and I will show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. And I am telling you, at the deepest point of the rabbit hole, this is it right here. This is the deepest point of the rabbit hole, and everything has to flow out of the fact that God is love. Everything. Saul unplugged from the matrix of religion. Right. Terry Bench began to unplug from the matrix of religion in 1987. And it has been a process, but I'm telling you, I pulled the plug. I've pulled the plug, and I'm not going back to believing in an angry God. Everybody say, I don't believe in an angry God. That one doesn't work. Where did my other one go? See how I used to preach is that Jesus caused the Father not to be angry with us because of his shed blood. And then I preach, well, God's not mad right now, but because my eschatology hadn't changed, God's going to be mad as hell in a few years whenever the tribulation starts and the rapture happens. So we've got this little bit of time where Jesus changed God's mood. No! Jesus didn't have to change God's mood. 2 Corinthians says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, because we didn't see, we didn't know. He wasn't reconciling him to us. He never left us. Now, if a baby can sleep while I'm doing that, that's awesome. Glory to God. I'll try to settle down a little bit. Paul unplugged from the matrix because he took the red pill. Turn over to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. He took the red pill. I'm definitely not going to. You know, I say that every week. Can we make this like a 3-hour session? Okay, never mind. And I will have you to know that I preach shorter than Jeff preached last Sunday morning. Now listen to this. Paul is writing to Galatians, and I know that I've preached through Galatians verse by verse 3 different times, twice in this church on Wednesday nights in my ministry life. But I am seeing it from a whole nother viewpoint, because we've always made this about grace and law. But it is about mixture. It is about mixing an angry God with a loving God that Jesus came to show us. It's more, listen, the mixture in Galatians is more than just grace and law. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. If you think God is a little angry, then God is going to become more angry, and that's why so many Christians are angry. That's why I've been angry. Have you been angry? Have you been angry? Come on, help me out. Now listen, as Paul is writing this, he unplugged from the matrix of religion. Listen to the verses. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, and it's not wrong to receive things from men. But ultimately, even what you hear me say, the Spirit of God has to bring that to light even in your own mind. For I neither received it from men nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, and in Philippians he says that he was perfect in Judaism. He fulfilled it to the T. I bet he did. For if you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and I tried to destroy it. Stop right there. See, he believed in a violent God. He believed in a violent God. Why? Because the whole Old Testament is full of their perspective of God being a violent God. And if God's a violent God, see, we in the church over the last 500 years, we've used God being violent to have slaves. We've used God being violent to put women subservient to men. I'm preaching really good now. We've done all kinds of things in the name of the Bible, in the name of Jesus, because we believed in a violent, bloodthirsty God that Jesus had to come to the cross and save us from. How I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. Verse 14. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. And those traditions, Jesus said, put bondage on people, hurt people, killed people. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. You mean in the middle of all that crap that Saul was doing, he was called by grace from his mother's womb? But the problem was he had not disconnected his mind from the matrix. He was still operating under the blue pill. He still had something covering his mind where he couldn't see the truth of who God was. He couldn't see the truth of who he was. But this was always him. Verse 16, this just makes me want to run. You mean whenever I was 12 years old and a terror to my mother, God was trying to reveal his son in me? Woo! I wasn't too bad, was I, Mom? God's just been trying to reveal his son in every human being that has ever lived. To reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, which had nothing to do, Gentiles had nothing to do with Judaism or the law or the feast or the trumpets or any of those things. They weren't a part of it. They were separated. They were outside. But as soon as God, the Father, as soon as Jesus revealed the Son in Saul, he went and preached among the Gentiles who everybody said was separated from God. But they were not. To reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. Why? Because if he would have went to Peter and asked Peter, should I go to the Gentiles? Peter would have said, hell no, don't go to the Gentiles. They are not a part of us. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went out to the desert, to Arabia, and returned again to Damascus. Stop right there. Okay, so here Saul becomes Paul, and he begins to get a revelation. He unplugs from the matrix of the law and all of Judaism, and he begins to come into the loads of grace that Jesus was showing him and revealing to him. Now I want you to hear me. I think you're supposed to come to church, especially a church like this that's preaching this. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of people that are unplugging from the church, because the church as a large is still involved with the matrix. They took the blue pill and they wake up every day with the same old ragged, crappy, angry God. No change, no transformation. The reason why Paul didn't go up to Jerusalem is because he would have been plugged back into the matrix. Even the guys, Peter and some of those guys, even though Jesus had affected their lives, they still didn't have a revelation. Jesus even said, guys, there's a lot of things that I want to tell you, but you're not. You can't even hear what I've told you. Man, I prophesy this right now. There's going to be people all over the land leaving churches by the scores. They're going to leave the matrix. They're going to take the red pill, which the red pill, I believe, as my sermon advances here, probably into next week or the week following. But as we take the red pill and understand the blood, as we understand the blood didn't reveal violence. The blood reveals the love of God. We've got to stay congruent. We've got to stay within. Even the blood is talking about the love of God. Everybody say the love of God. Do you see what I'm saying so far? I'm prophesying that people are going to unplug from the church. I think we ought to be so full here, and I don't want to go to two or three services. Are you listening to me? I think there's going to be a church that's going to open up and they're going to give it to us. Hallelujah. Well, that's Brother Terry. Why would somebody want to do that? Because they don't need it anymore. Things are getting ready to happen and change. If we go to three or four services in here, I'm only preaching once, and two or three of the rest of you are going to preach the other services. Pastor, are you ready, Tom? There you go. He's ready. Right there. I can see it. See, this isn't just about me. I read that scripture before Jeff preached last week, you know, that said they will all know me from the least to the greatest. This isn't about me, because once the information is released, this is about us. This is about us coming into the fullness of this, so that we can walk this out in our lives. I don't want to just have words. I want to be able to walk this out in my life. I want it real, baby. Do you see why Paul didn't go up to Jerusalem? He would have been infected. In 1987, the best thing for me would have been at that moment, whenever I was experiencing the love of God and seeing the scriptures in another light. This is before, this was before Joseph Prince. If I would have unplugged from the church, my entire familiar system, my family, my church family, everybody would have went completely mad. T.L. is backslidden. He is outside of God. God, I had a wreck somewhere back in there, a pretty bad wreck, and totaled my car. A federal employee here in the state of Missouri, Jessica was laying in the back seat. I should have had her in a car seat, but she was sleeping, so she was laying in the back seat. Totaled my car, and the word on the street was because there were some changes going on in my life at that time. The word on the street was that God had removed His protection from me, and God was making a point. I'm telling you, God, I didn't have a scratch on my body. I had a little red mark right here. The highway patrolman came, and whenever he got there, I was laying on the ground like this. I don't know if I was like faking it. Maybe I was. I don't know. I was laying on the ground. No. It really whacked me pretty good. I was laying on the ground, and the highway patrolman, all the people that were standing around, Jessica was just a little girl, she was standing there, and all the people that were standing around Listen to him. He's lost his mind. Listen to what he's saying. And I was going, Shombra bakita rabakasodo rabakia rebedeke. And the highway patrolman leaned down and, oh, don't worry about it. He's just praying. Back up, back up, back up. But see, that was a violent religion that told me that that happened because God removed his protection. God didn't remove his protection. God was with me, or I might have died, or Jessica might have died. Why did I tell that story? Somebody help me. Where was I at right before that? Yeah, I should have disconnected in 1987. I should have disconnected from the Matrix because I would have been way farther along because I was already seeing this then, but ne'er would I have wanted to open my mouth and say what I'm saying today at this moment. But now I'm the old guy and I can say what I want. I did that with a little attitude, didn't I? Let's keep reading. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and I saw that he was pitiful, and I only remained with him for 15 days. That was my version. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Verse 20, now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed before God, I do not lie. Afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Sicily, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they were hearing only he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. Next verse, and they glorified God in me. I think chapter 2 and verse 1. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also Titus took away. He spent approximately 17 years away from everybody, unplugged from the matrix of religion so that he could do this right here. Because he believed in an angry God. He believed in a bloodthirsty God. But the love of God began to change, Mr. Paul. The love of God brought Paul to a place where he knew the Gentiles were in. He were telling them, you're in. You're just as much in as the Jews were. You've been in all along. Next verse. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel, the good news, which I preach among the Gentiles, Christ in you, the hope of glory, but privately to those who are of reputation. In other words, what Paul is saying and what he's beginning to make adjustments to the matrix of the old covenant, he's bringing in the thought process of the new covenant, the love of God being at the base of that. He went to those that were in leadership and he said, this is what I'm preaching to the Gentiles. And he didn't ask them if it was okay. I went up by revelation and communicated to them that the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who are of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. He shared what God was sharing with him to them because they were in leadership. Am I doing okay this morning? It was good news through and through. But Pastor Terry, what about the wrath of God? I'm not going to talk about that this morning. Start doing some word studies. Wrath doesn't mean what you think it means. See, there's all kinds of words and images that are in your head, not because I put them there, and I'm sorry if I did. I may have put some images in there because the images were given to me that I gave to you. I think I've been doing really good. But there's images like hell. There's images and thought process. There is the traditions of men, the systems of men that are not congruent with the gospel, with the good news. And you say, well, what else out here, Pastor Terry is out here that is part of the traditions of men. I'm going to say that everything has been plugged into the matrix of religion, and religion has affected everything. Jesus brought in a whole new system. Paul was implementing that system. Somebody say implementing that system. Okay, I am definitely not going to, that's okay. Stop it, TL. God didn't kill Jesus because he was angry at us. Matthew 9:36, Matthew 14:14, there's lots of scriptures that talk about Jesus moving in compassion. If Jesus moved in compassion, then the Father was moving in compassion. The Father has always moved in compassion. God was using what mankind needed, what we thought we needed, to bring the whole system of blood sacrifice crashing to the ground. Jesus wanted to release us out of the matrix, out of paganism and mythology that had entered in to people's thought processes all the way back to Adam. Everybody say Adam. Now, I think I want to go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. And I'm going to skip, Crystal, I'm going to skip some passages there. And I want to go to Hebrews chapter 12, actually. I think I had 10, but I want to go to 12. And I'm gonna end with this passage of Scripture. I still haven't got to all the blood stuff, but this is one of them. So here in Hebrews, Jesus is better than everything that was a shadow under that old covenant system. Now, there's a lot that I could say about that. But what I want us to do is I want us to go to verse 18. And I want us to start reading here. And this is the New King James. And I'm going to read out of the New Living Testament. It's pretty close. There's some little differences, but I like the way this reads. Follow along with me. You have not come to a physical mountain, to a place of flaming fire, darkness, gloom, and whirlwind, as the Israelites did at Mount Sinai. For they heard an awesome trumpet blast and a voice so terrible that they begged God to stop speaking. That was their understanding of what they believed that God was. We even took God's goodness and made it evil because our minds were evil. We were alienated. We were separated. But there's never been, where's my marker? There's never been any separation. No separation ever. So the blood wasn't spilled so that you would be in. The blood was spilled so that you would know that you've always been in. Jesus didn't have to make the Father not mad at you. You know, sometimes it's just easier to run than try to talk. Come on now. Wow. Lost my place. Okay. For they heard an awesome trumpet blast and a voice so terrible that they begged God to stop speaking. They begged God to stop speaking because all they heard was from Adam. All they heard was from the law. That's all they heard. With a little bit of love added to it. Come on now. A little bit of mercy added to it. If you do everything right. But see, that wasn't God. That's never been God. They staggered back under God's command. Even if an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. Moses himself was so frightened at the sight that he said, I am terrified and trembling. And can you imagine? This is the guy who gave us the law. You mean the law flowed through this guy. His perceptions. Yeah. Then verse 22. It says, no, but you have come to Mount Zion. You have come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Hello, heavenly Jerusalem. To a countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. There was no joy under that matrix, under that system. The heavenly Jerusalem to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God Himself who is the judge over all things. You have come to and He has judged us righteous. You have come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven who have now been made perfect. You have come to Jesus. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. The blood revealed the love of God. Jesus' blood in His death was communicating to us, speaking to us something better, and they were not willing to listen. The whole mission of Jesus was to show us the Father's nature from beginning to end. God was in Christ, reconciling the world, bringing our minds back to the right place that we always were. You know, I think I get louder with good news. That's just a thought. Jesus' mission was to show us better things than what they believed. Jesus' blood was going to speak of better things than what Abel's blood spoke of from the fall of man. Jesus' blood was going to speak to us from before the very foundations of the world. Not because God needed blood, but because He knew we needed blood to make us comfortable with Him. But once Jesus came and once we understood, God never needed blood. He never required blood. We did. The blood shows us that God has always been in love with us, that He has always been for us. If we listen to the blood through the filter of Adam's false paradigm that came through Abel, the message of Jesus gets lost and it will sound different than what Jesus' original message was, that God is love, He loves you, He has never forsaken you. If I hear through the filter that says that God is angry, retributive, wrathful, vindictive, then guess what I'm going to be like? The blood will appear to reveal a violent God. And that's what we've preached. I've preached it too. As opposed to the blood revealing a loving Father that Jesus came to show us, Jesus made a clear distinction between His blood and between the blood of Abel, the son of Adam. Jesus' blood didn't cry out in vengefulness. Jesus stretched out His arms, and this is the wrath of God, by the way. I'll give you a little clue what the wrath of God is. The wrath of God is one who stretches out His arms in a passionate way to bring everybody into Himself. Wow. Wow. I don't know if I can say it just like I said it, but let me. It's the wrath of God is the stretching out of one's arms in passion to bring back into Himself what was truly His all along. His wrath was different than what we thought it was. Now, was there the wrath of the Romans on the Jews? Yes. And that's a whole nother deal. But God is only in this circle. Now, does there need to be a lot of explanations to things and thinking through things? Yes, there does. We're just getting started, ladies and gentlemen. We will all know Him from the least to the greatest. But somebody's at least got to open their mouth and start releasing some of this so that we can begin to progress. So, this was powerful. Yes, it was powerful. God has always loved you. God has never looked at you like, God, what did I create? No, never. He's loved you just like Jeff said. Wasn't that awesome last week? He's loved every part of Terry Bench whenever I was 9, whenever I was 14, whenever I was 22. He's loved me, even loved me in my religiosity. He's not mad at the religious people out there. He loves them in the middle of where they're at. But I'm going to tell you, there's something better than being plugged into the matrix of religion. I want to be plugged into the matrix of relationship. Because that's the only way that I'm going to grow and move forward. Now, there's lots of blood scriptures that I'm going to read coming up. Because God, there's one scripture that said that in the Old Testament, God told him, he said, I did not require blood sacrifices. That was you. Did Moses make this crap up as he was going? I think so. We've sure made a lot of crap up. So why wouldn't Moses have made it up? I mean, seriously. And I was nicer. Brad Jersak would have said shit instead of, oh, I just said it. I said crap. Come on, stand with me on your feet. Now, does that mean, Pastor Terry, that you have everything right and everybody else has it wrong? No, I'm just saying that we got to start thinking outside of our religious box and start listening to each other, because I think you've got a part to play in this, just like I have a part to play in this. I think church, I don't think this is church. Church begins whenever you leave today. That's what Jesus was saying. If somebody's evil to you, if they slap you here, let them slap you on the other side. Well, that's just ridiculous. If somebody slaps me, I'm going to give them a left hook. No, see, the kingdom of God is not violent. I've been violent. I still might have a little violence in me, especially if you get me on the basketball court. Because I'm a little older, you know, you understand? I'm a little older, and the younger guys are a little faster. Well, I wouldn't say they're faster. They are stronger. Yeah, there you go. Yes. I want to lose my violence. I don't want to, and I think I'm a pretty lovable guy, and I think I've treated people extremely well over the years. You know, I've treated people better than I've preached, and I'm glad it wasn't the other way around, because there's a lot of grace people that don't treat people very well, because we're still hooked up to the matrix of religion, and we got to get rid of it. Everybody say, I love my pastor. Father, I thank you that as we go out of here, we are cruising this week, Thanksgiving week. We're going to be around a lot of family and a lot of friends, and lots of stuff is going on. And Father, we're just going to find your goodness overwhelming to us so that we are just sponges of love for everybody to squeeze on. We're going to give fruit of the Spirit out this week, Father, not because we're trying to do it. It's just going to flow out of us because that's who we are. Because even as you are, so are we in this world. And everybody that agreed said, amen. Love you guys. Have a great week.